We got something that's really fantastic. I don't know how you go out fantastic, fantastic.
As the old saying goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. So police officers in Bremerton are teaching a new dog how to not find pot. Take a look. Dusty is Bremerton's newest narcotics canine. But this 18-month-old lab isn't like other police dogs.
He's going to get a lot of work, and he already has got a lot of work.
That's because Dusty is trained to ignore pot. After I-502 passed in Washington, officers needed a dog to look for heroin, cocaine, and meth, but not marijuana.
Injection, fellas. Suicide.
You're so fat, they have to jack you up to take off your shoes.
Yeah, well, you're so skinny, your eyes are in single file.
Well, you're so ugly, your ears stick out to get away from your face.
Well, your mama is
so... Hold it, wait a minute. Don't bring anyone mother into this. She ain't here. If it wasn't for your mother, you wouldn't be here. So remember, when you put down one mother, you put down mothers all over the world.
Mother, you only get one. We, the people, chose to do these things together because we know this country cannot accomplish great things if we pursue nothing greater than our own individual ambition. Unfortunately, you've grown up hearing voices that incessantly warn of government as nothing more than some separate, sinister entity that's at the root of all our problems. Some of these same voices also do their best to gum up the works. They'll warn that tyranny is always lurking just around the corner. You should reject these voices.
KNX News Radio Update. The world, the nation. President Carter has ordered that oil refiners give priority for fuel, for food production, and heating needs rather than filling gasoline shortages. White House spokesman Jody Powell says Carter made that decision since ordering refineries to increase gasoline production made no sense because of the low levels of oil reserves. Instead, Powell says Carter decided to give priority to home heating and fuel oil used for food production. He says it's more profitable for oil companies to make gasoline.
President Carter's gas rationing plan faces a key test in the Senate today. Senators are expected to vote sometime today on his proposed standby rationing program that squeaked through the Senate Energy Committee yesterday. The White House was forced to rewrite the rationing plan twice before it got through the committee.
It's time for a little bit of honesty. It's time to take that elephant in the room, grab it by the horns, and milk it senseless. The statement I'm about to say to you is something we're never allowed to say in public. It's something we're never allowed to talk about. The media definitely can't even begin to mutter it. You're more likely to hear the media talk about government propaganda than you are to hear this. You're more likely to hear the Pope say that every child molesting priest should be imprisoned for decades than you are to hear the following true statement. So here it is. Capitalism has a lot of problems. There it is. Is everybody okay? Everybody take a deep breath, all right? Now keep in mind, I have not said that capitalism is a failure. I haven't said that it doesn't have its strength. Those are discussions for another time. Let's just stick with this one idea for a moment. Baby steps. You gotta move by baby steps on this, all right? You might want to hold on to your blankie for the rest of this, or perhaps get some Vicks Vapor Rub and just slowly caress it around this area. Seriously, why can't we discuss this? Saying that capitalism has some problems upsets people more than the following things. Racism, statutory rape, smoking while pregnant, murdering someone while pregnant, and wearing cross-trainer tennis shoes on a clay tennis court. Saying capitalism is faulty upsets people more than all of those things. And you can't wear the cross trainers on the clay tennis court because it scuffs them up. It scuffs up the court. Clay is a very delicate material, all right? And you have to water it, and then you have to groom it, and then you have to pray that some soulless douchebag doesn't walk onto it in his cross trainers for his weekly match with his grandmother. Capitalism is very unstable, and any economist willing to be honest with you would tell you the same. There are three. The National Bureau of Economic Research says there have been 11 major downturns in the past 75 years. That's more going down than Jenna Jameson. You add on top of that that capitalism requires infinite growth on a globe with finite resources, and you have what Houston would call a problem. Oh, that's right, we cut the funding to NASA, so there's no more Houston, so we're gonna have to change that expression to, like, Dale, we have a problem.
Yellow model chick, yellow bottle sippin', yellow Lamborghini, yellow top missin'. Yup, yup, that stuff look like a toupee. I get what you get in 10 years, in 2 days.
Ladies love me, I'm on my Cool J. If you get what I get,
what would you say? He whacks it on and off, Mr. Miyagi. And them suicide doors, Ari Kari.
Look at me now, look at me now.
Whenever capitalism yells, Dale, we have a problem, you know who comes to the rescue? Socialism. That's right. Social programs like welfare and Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid have made it so that unregulated capitalism doesn't eat itself alive yet. Then when the banks collapse and the housing market collapses and the big auto companies collapse, who saves the day? Massive socialist bailouts. I'm just saying, there's something wrong with an economic system that has to tag team a different system into the match because it keeps getting knocked the fuck out. So all I'm asking for is a rational adult discussion on ways to create an actual sustainable society. Now I know sustainable sounds like a hippy-dippy tree-hugging word, motherfucker, but no. Sustainable just means can go on forever. What we have now is an unsustainable model, also known as a devour everything now and shit on the future model. It's fun, right? Right now we're in the devour part of it. Very soon we'll be living in the shit part of it.
Little finger bigger than gorilla, cause I'm killing every jigger that try to beat on my stuff. Better cuff your man if you will him, I can get him, cause he accidentally slip and fall on my crack. Oops, I said on my crack. I didn't really mean to say on my crack, but since we talking about my crack, all you haters say hi to that. I'm done. No, really though, I'm not done.
Let's go!
Cause I'm feeling like I'm running and I'm feeling like I gotta get away, get away, get away. But I know that I don't and I won't ever stop, cause you know I gotta win every day, day. See, they don't really, really wanna pop me, just know that she will never stop me. And I know that I can be a little cocky. Oh, you ain't never gonna flop me. Every time I come a jigger, gotta set it, then I gotta go, and then I gotta get it, then I gotta blow, and then I gotta shatter any little thing a jigger think it'd be doing, cause it doesn't matter, cause I'm gonna I'm gonna murder everything and anything about a boom, bada bing. I gotta do a lot of things to make it clear to a couple jiggers that I'm always winning, and I gotta get it again and again and again.
An example of an alternative is a resource-based economy. This is where we calculate all the stuff on Earth, you know, the resources that make the things we like to wear and eat, and we base our economy on that. That way, we don't run out of things to wear and eat. Because when we run out of things to wear and eat, people die. And when we run out of people, there's nobody left to have sex with. And even a Jersey Shore douchebag should understand that train of thought. Listen, if we continue down this path, there will be no more f***ing. Let's have this conversation like adults, rather than flipping out and running away with your fingers in your ears, as if I just said Jimmy Savile and Jerry Sandusky were simply misunderstood pillars of the community.
And I be doing it to death, and now I move a little phallic, jigga better color reppin', everybody know my style, jigga know that I'm the best, when I come on doing this, and I be banging on my chest, and I bang in the east, and I bang in the west, and I come to give you more, and I will never give you less, you will hear it in the street, and you can read it in the press, do you really wanna know what's next? See the way we on it when we all up in the race, and you know we gotta go, don't try to keep up with the pace, and we struggle and hustle and sending it and getting it, and always gotta do it, take it to another place, gotta taste it, and I gotta grab it, and I gotta cut through all this traffic, just to be at the top of the throne, gotta know I gotta have it, look at me now, look at me now, I'm getting paper, look at me now, look at me now, yeah, yeah, fresh, what?
It's not your fault, it's really not your fault. The United States, more than any other country, has this motto, this theme of personal responsibility, right? You often can't see it, but it's actually tattooed on the bald eagle's ass. Uncle Sam is pointing at you, saying, take responsibility. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Stand up on your own 2 feet. If you want your bush whacked, you gotta do it yourself. I don't think that's an expression, but it should be. Roughly 28 million Americans can't find work or have stopped looking altogether, and we're told to believe that there's something wrong with 28 million Americans? Are we to believe that there's something wrong with the millions upon millions of homeowners who went into foreclosure after being tricked and deluded, hustled and bamboozled into signing a subprime mortgage? Should we believe it's the fault of tens of thousands of Americans who were foreclosed upon illegally? And I guess we should believe it's the fault of the 60% of all bankrupt companies that went bankrupt due to healthcare bills. God damn, you add that up and apparently 60 or 70% of the American people are f***ing losers who don't even try to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. They don't even try to whack their own bushes.
Man, forget these haters. How y'all doing? I'm Lil Toonchi. I'm a nuisance. I go stupid. I go dumb like the Three Stooges. I don't eat sushi. I'm the stuff. No pollution, no substitution. Now I'm chilling, playing movies in my jacuzzi. Fruit is juicy. I never give a damn about a hater. Got money on my radar. Dressed like a skater. Got a big house. Came with an elevator. You niggas ain't eating. Go tell a waiter. Molly said shoot him, and I said okay. You on that bullshit? I'm like Olay. Don't care what you say, so don't even speak. Your boyfriend a freak like Cirque du Soleil. That's word to my flag, and my flag red. I'm out of my head, yo. I'm out of my mind. From the bottom I climb. You ain't hotter than mine. Nope, not on my time. Not even trying. What's poppin', slime? Nothing five. And if they trippin', forgettin' five. Ain't got no time to shuck and jive. These chickens as sweet as pumpkin pie. So rockin' Sprite on a private flight. Yo, I've been Tyson's guiding light, and my pocket's white, my diamonds white. My mama's nice, and my daddy's gone. Y'all peace be scared, cause I'm too wild. Been here for a while, I was like, no try. I puts it down, I'm so young money. You got eyes, look at me now. Oh, look at me now, look at me now. I'm getting paper, look at me now. Look at me now, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fresh drama, what? Okay. Okay. Is that right? I'm fresh than a mug. What?
And we're in a recovery too, and still you don't have a job? What is wrong with you? The Dow Jones just hit a record high. The big banks and the insurance companies and the oil companies are doing better than ever. So why aren't you swimming in coins, f***ing wiping your ass with dollar bills? If you had any sense in your body, if you were working hard at all, you would be doing great in this time of renewed prosperity. Doing well right now is easier than playing hide-and-go-seek with a heavy-breathing obese child. So what the f*** is the matter with you? But the truth is, it's not your fault. Years, the wealthy elite have been gutting the system, making it harder and harder to make a living while they've enriched themselves beyond anyone's wildest dreams. There are people who dream of naked leprechauns dancing in chocolate fountains while sodomizing unicorns, who could not dream of the amount of wealth amassed in the top 0.1%. But here's the key to the success of their heist. In order to stop you from pointing the finger at them, they had to come up with a myth, an idea, a bullshit motto that anyone who is struggling is doing so because they lack either motivation or personal responsibility. Personal responsibility is a code that really means blame yourselves so that the country doesn't stop to think about how f***ed the system is, how rigged unfettered capitalism is, and then justifiably, logically, and rationally blame the ass-faced killers, the millionaire, tax-avoiding, greed-snorting, government-extorting bitches who put us here and then turned around and blamed the victims. It's not your fault.
Seems like everybody's got a price. I wonder how they sleep at night. When the sale comes first and the truth comes second, just stop for a minute and smile. Why is everybody so serious? Acting so damn mysterious. Got your shades on your eyes and your heels so high, you can't even have a good time. Everybody look to the left, everybody look to the right. Can you feel that? We're paying with love tonight. It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just wanna make the world dance. We need to take it back in time, when music made us all unite. And it wasn't low blows, but video hoes. Am I the only one getting tired? Why is everybody so obsessed, when money can't buy us happiness? Can we all slow down and enjoy right now? Guarantee we'll be feeling all right. Everybody look to the left, everybody look to the right. Can you feel that? We're paying with love tonight. It's not about the money, money, money. We don't need your money, money, money. We just wanna make the world dance. Forget about the price tag. Ain't about the cha-ching, cha-ching. Ain't about the, yeah.
You are struggling because they have pillaged the world. And if you blame yourself, it makes it that much easier for them to keep doing it.
James Holmes is elected the new NRA president. A heartbroken Chris Brown always thought Rihanna was the woman he'd beat to death. And the 17-year cicadas are horrified to learn about 9/11. It's time for the web video America just wasn't ready for last week. This is The Onion Week in Review. Shortly after officials finally found a location to bury the body of deceased Boston bomber Tamerlan Tsarnaev this week, the Earth announced its vehement refusal to decompose the body. The totality of topsoil covering the planet said in a statement that it didn't want to associate itself with evildoers such as Tsarnaev, and told officials there was, quote, absolutely no way it would ever break down the body of the terrorist into raw compounds. Local mentally unstable man Michael Redding told reporters Wednesday he plans to exhibit one or two more warning signs this week before, quote, finally doing this. The fully unhinged Redding said he already knew the types of erratic and worrisome behavior he would display, and said he was giving his co-workers at Marley Publishing just a few more days before he made this thing happen.
I definitely talked about my frustration with life in general. And I even discussed my fascination with all sorts of violence. But that still didn't throw up any red flags. I think I'll do just a couple of disconcerting things in front of people here at the office. Maybe give them a day or two to take action through the appropriate channels. But if that doesn't happen, then I'm going through with it.
When reached for comment today, Redding said he exhibited two warning signs and is, quote, good to go. This week, members of PepsiCo's market research team fell victim to a malicious focus group whose members convinced them cinnamon-flavored Mountain Dew is the next big thing. PepsiCo officials declared their excitement for the new murky brownish-green product, all without ever realizing they had been tricked by the ill-intentioned collection of respondents.
We were a little unsure as to whether or not people would be on board with cinnamon-flavored Mountain Dew, but the people in the focus group, they loved it. They couldn't get enough of it. And then they said, the more cinnamon, the better. So we are going to put in more cinnamon. We are really excited for people to try this product.
And in local news, a snooze button time traveler sets his coordinates for 5 minutes into the future. In other news, Woody Allen is extremely busy updating WoodyAllen.com. Everyone on a flight is annoyed by a screaming Kid Rock, and a possum gazes longingly at a family walking their dog.
Cleveland 911, police, ambulance to fire.
Yeah, hey, bro, I'm at 2207 Seymour, West 25th. Hey, check this out. I just came from McDonald's, right? So I'm on my porch eating my little food, right? This broad is trying to break out the f***ing house next door to me. So there's a bunch of people on the street right now and shit. So we like, well, what's wrong with you? What's the problem? She like, this motherfucker kidnapped me and my daughter, and we've been in this bitch. She said her name is Linda Berry or some shit. I don't know who the f*** that is. I just moved over here, bro.
Sir, you have to calm down and slow down. Is she still in the street?
Seymour Avenue.
And this, is she still in the street, or where did she go?
Yeah, I'm looking at her. She right now. She calling y'all. She on another phone.
Is she black, white, or Hispanic?
She white, but the baby look Hispanic.
Okay, what is she wearing?
White tank top, light blue sweatpants. Like a wife beater.
Do you know the address next door that she said she was in?
Yeah, 2207. I'm looking at it.
Okay, I thought that was your address. So that house.
No, I'm smarter than that, bro. I'm telling you where the crime was.
Okay,
not my house.
Sir, we can't talk at the same time. Do you want to leave your name and number? Or remain
Charles
anonymous?
Ramsey, R-A-M-S-E-Y.
What's the phone number? Are the people she said that did this, do you know if they're still in the house?
I don't have a clue, bro. I just said I came from McDonald's.
Can you ask her if she needs an ambulance?
You need an ambulance? Or what? She need everything. She's in a panic, bro. I guess she's been kidnapped, so, you know, put yourself in her shoes.
We'll send the police out. Thank you.
There you go.
Look at what's happened to me. I can't believe it myself. Suddenly I'm up on top of the world. Should have been somebody else. Believe it or not, I'm walking on air. I never thought I could feel so free. Flying away on a wing and a prayer. Who could it be? Believe it or not, it's just me.
I'm talking with Charles Ramsey. He's a neighbor. Walk me through again what happened this afternoon. You heard screaming.
Heard screaming. I meet my McDonald's. I come outside. I see this girl going nuts trying to get out of her house. So I go on the porch. I go on the porch, and she says, "Help me get out. I've been in here a long time." So, you know, I figured it's a domestic violence dispute. So I open the door, and we can't get in that way because how the door is, it's so much that a body can't fit through, only your hand. So we kick the bottom, and she comes out with the little girl, and she says, "Call 911. My name is Amanda Berry."
Now, did you know who that was when she said that?
When she told me, it didn't register until I got to call the 911, and then I'm like, I'm calling the 911 for Amanda Berry? I thought this girl was dead. You know what I mean? And she got on the phone, and she said, "Yes, this is me." And the detective, Cook, right here, Detective Gregory Cook, says, "Charles, do you know who you rescued?" I said.
Now, and when did you see? When did you see Gina?
About 5 minutes after the police got here. See, that girl Amanda told the police, "I ain't just the only ones. It's some more girls up in that house." So they went up there, you know, 30, 40 deep, and when they came out, was just astonishing, because I thought they were going to come up with nothing. I figured, I mean, whoever she was, and like I say, my neighbor, you got some big testicles to pull this off, bro, because we see this dude every day. I mean, every day.
How long have you lived here?
I've been here a year.
Okay.
You see where I'm coming from? Right. I barbecue with this dude. We eat ribs and whatnot, and listen to salsa music. You see where I'm coming from?
And you had no indication that there was anything going on?
Bro, not a clue that girl was in that house, or anybody else was in there against their will. Because how he he just comes out to his backyard, plays with the dogs, tinker with his cars and motorcycles, goes back in the house. So he's somebody that you look away, because he's not doing nothing but the average stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Nothing exciting about him. Well, until the day.
what was the reaction on the girls' faces? I can't imagine to see the sunlight, to be
bro,
around people.
I knew something was wrong when a little pretty white girl ran into a black man's arms. Something is wrong here. Dead giveaway. Dead
Charles,
giveaway.
Charles, thank you very
Dead
much.
Dead giveaway.
Thank you very much for your time. And
either she homeless or she got problems. That's the only reason why she ran into a black man.
Just like the light of a new day, hit me from out of the blue.
Joined now by the man who made this rescue happen, Charles Ramsey. Mr. Ramsey, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Boy, I know it has been a whirlwind for you since Monday night. How you feeling?
I'm happy. I mean, you know, I'm, you know, pushing to the level as, you know, here.
A little Red Bull helps. Okay, I understand that. And I also know that you do not like the word hero, but it is true that when you answered that door and helped kick it down, those young women were finally rescued after so long. Has that sunk in for you?
Mm-mm.
No?
It's gonna be a while, bro.
No, no. I mean, I'm just, I don't know, speechless.
And you had never seen Amanda Berry before that moment when you went to her door?
No.
What did she say to you in those moments after you finally were able to get her out there and get her on the phone for the 911 call?
She says, it's more girls in that house. And I was just blown away from that statement, you know what I mean? And when the police got there, they went up there and brought the rest of them out.
And you had never seen anything of any of them before, even though you knew Ariel Castro a bit.
Not only I didn't see nothing, apparently my neighbors haven't seen anything either. Now I've been there a year. She's been right there next door to me for a year. Every day since I've been on that year. So let me tell you something. When you move into a new neighborhood, see, I'm from the east side of Cleveland. I'm from Richmond Heights. I went to Brush High School, okay?
I went to Orange.
Wait, we're rivals, but it's cool. It's cool.
But you didn't see anything?
Not one iota. Because I wouldn't have been speaking to this dude. I give this dude his mail when it comes to my house. I eat his food when he feels like barbecuing. When he feels like playing salsa music, I try to, you know, maringue. You know what I mean? Had I known that, would this be a whole different interview now, wouldn't it?
Sure would be a whole different interview. And so you ate ribs with him, you danced with him. You saw him every once in a while, and there was nothing at all in his demeanor that would give you the inkling that he could do something like this?
No. Isn't that scary?
It is.
So either I'm that stupid, or his kind, or that good.
Here we are.
And everything ends up being about food, for good or bad.
Can we please do the news? I'm begging you.
Oh, we're just all kind of stuff about eating, drinking, and making merry.
Commemorated in cake.
Wow.
And cupcakes.
From butterfly shrimp wrapped in bacon to pimento cheese sandwiches.
Ham biscuits.
Meatloaf. Broccoli.
Deviled eggs.
America's obsession with food.
There was some bacon there, I think.
You know what's a pain in the neck?
Cooking food.
Yes, exactly.
When you're sitting around eating leaves.
Tofu girl.
But that's you eat solid food as
oh,
well.
Oh, absolutely.
I eat solid food too. Okay.
For my dinner, give me something with a face.
Whatever's in season, I'm going to eat.
The tamales.
Kugel.
Collard greens with a ham hock.
Fried chicken.
I was sort of thinking maybe y'all would have a pitcher of sangria here.
Should.
That's a good point.
Who could I get to bring home today?
Let's all have one.
My hair smelled like Big Mac sauce for a year.
Oh, honey, I would have been so
smell.
In love with you.
Fettuccine Alfredo and chocolate pudding.
Sounds
and
delicious.
Especially when covered in tomato sauce and cheese.
Smear it all over.
Oh, yeah. God.
That's awesome. I love that on the face.
The most expensive driver of healthcare costs in our country is obesity-related diseases.
Chris Christie.
The Gamanooch.
Getting his stomach stapled.
Breaking news.
It is breaking news.
This is about being healthier for the rest of your life and to try to extend your life for as long as you possibly can.
But political observers saying the effort to slim down was motivated by thoughts of a 2016 presidential bid.
This has 2016 written all over it.
Your opinions on this issue really don't matter a whole hell of a lot to me.
You're gorgeous and you don't think
she's
so.
Right.
He also said he went to a steakhouse last week, ordered a steak, and about a third of the way through it, he was full.
It's nobody else's business. So
I need surgery to expand my brain. Do they have that?
This one's going to fire you up if you're not fired up already, so please put something on.
Today is Military Spouse Appreciation Day.
And the government just said bye-bye to the traditional family.
PC is way out of control.
Now they're going after butter.
Antibacterial soap could actually do more harm than good. A new report says at least a dozen former domestic terrorists are college professors. The craft beer boom in this country is an excellent example about what happens when you lower taxes and strip away regulations.
The audacity of hops
Cute wordplay there.
Go back into your mole hole. Senate Republicans have put together a list of reasons why Obamacare may actually not be good for women.
Kind of looks like a war on women, war on moms when it comes to Obamacare.
Nicely done, fellas. A new study suggesting most Americans have a distorted perception of gun violence in America. It has fallen significantly, we're told.
More guns mean less crime.
Crooks are stupid.
But in the 70s, we had dolphins fighting crime.
We did.
They call them Flipper, Flipper.
Thanks to all of you, we have been number one all week long. But then again, we've been number one for about 15 years. All right, Geraldo, let's talk a little bit about this. Benghazi
certainly didn't end on Wednesday.
The Republicans up there say, we got some answers, but we got lots more questions.
If you were looking for a lot of answers, they were elusive.
What really happened in Benghazi?
Has there been accountability to this point?
At this point, no.
This is a drip, drip, drip.
Drip by drip.
Drip, drip, drip.
Drip, drip, by drip.
Drip, drip, drip.
Drip, drip, drip.
Drip, drip, drip.
None of this ever seems to get any better for the administration, and we got a long way to go yet.
Well, this story's not getting away.
We're going to hear a lot more about this in the days and weeks ahead.
It's a blow to the credibility of the President of the United States. Can you trust him? And also Hillary Rodham Clinton, she wants to be president. What about her? Meanwhile, let's talk a little bit about this.
She's gone from New Jersey housewife to cookbook author, and she's here to share her recipes.
Also, the American Idol finale is set, so who made the cut? Highlights from last night's shocking results coming up.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure.
What is Fox News? It's just a parade of propaganda, isn't it? It's just a festival of ignorance.
When things are happening in our lives we don't like, and we're drawing people into our lives we don't like, and we're drawing experiences we don't like, instead of saying, why am I drawing these in? What is it about me that's creating this? What is it I'm putting out that's drawing this reflection in that I don't like? This pain in the ass is giving me a hard time. Instead of taking that power back and responsibility for what we create in our lives, we look out there for it. Boom, boom, boom. And we're encouraged to. And so we're in a situation where we're looking at the reflection, trying to change what's going on, when we need to change what is being reflected. You know, if you're standing next to a river and you see a reflection of yourself and you don't like it very much, you can throw stones at it, you can cuss it, you can kick it, you can jump in and thrash around. All that external thing, which we do in our lives all the time. You're responsible, it's your fault. I'm in this position, out there, out there, out there, externalizing responsibility. But once all that thrashing around is finished in the river, and once you've thrown all those stones in, everything settles down again. And exactly the same reflection is being reflected as was before. Because the reflection is merely, literally, a mirror of what is being reflected. We change inside, we change out here. This is the thing that we've been pressured, encouraged not to understand. Evolution's very, very simple. Very simple. Goes in this sequence. Experience, learn from the experience, evolve as a result of the experience. If at stage one, we're putting out energy, reflecting our state of being, and we draw in a certain experience as a result, person, place, whatever. If at the point where we don't like the experience, we are blaming everyone else out here. It's your fault, it was Ethel in 1963, it was me mother, it's me color, it's me sexuality. What is pulling that experience in is not changing, because we're blaming everyone else for it. So what happens is, because what's going out hasn't changed, what comes back doesn't change, and we hit these cycles in our lives, and we've all had them, and all still have them, where the same things keep getting repeated. We pull in the same type of person we have a relationship with. We pull in the same situation in work. Nothing ever works in our lives. And yet, when you look at that, what that is evolutionary just running on the spot. We're not moving because we're not changing what's creating what we don't like. So it goes on and on and on. Once we take responsibility back and stop looking out here to change what's going on and look at what's reflected out there, then in the same situation we say, hold on a minute, why have I pulled this experience in? What is there to learn? What is it about me that's done this? Okay, got it. At that point, your attitude, your imagination of yourself changes. When that changes, what you resonate out changes, so you start pulling in different experiences that reflect the new vibration you're putting out and not the old one. And when you kind of get into this mode of taking responsibility back, suddenly things dramatically change. And you can evolve ever so quickly. You pull in an experience. Oh, right, what is there to learn from this? Okay, got it. Change vibration, evolve. Pull in a different experience. What is there to learn from it? Got it. Change vibration, evolve. And you can move along so quickly in evolutionary terms once you start to open up to that, as more and more people on this planet are, as this cycle of change unfolds. Or you can stand here forevermore blaming every bugger else for things that you're creating and we're all creating. And that's an option too, but not a very good one. So what we put out is what we get back. We are in control of our lives. No one else. We've just kidded that we're not. For instance, I hear people, you must have heard this, where people go, nothing ever happens in my life. It's a bore. It's a bore in my life. Nothing ever happens. Anything I try, nothing kind of works, you know. And then you say to them, well, what do you want to do with your life? And they go, I don't know, really. I don't know. Never thought about it. Now, I don't know, really, is actually a state of mind. Therefore, it is a vibrational frequency, and I don't know, really, goes out, and I don't know, really, comes in. Nothing ever works, because I don't know, really. If we can just focus on what we want to achieve and go with the intent, most powerful thing we can do, what's our intent, what's our focus, this is what I want to do with my life. That intent goes out as a vibrational frequency and it will always bring towards us experiences and challenges that lead us to achieve what we want to achieve. That's where most people give up. They say, oh yeah, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to do the other, that's my intent, and the intent then draws towards us what we need to do to achieve that intent, and when it gets a bit challenging, we go, oh, God. Well, I'd like to do it, mate, but not that badly, thank you very much, and we're out of the game. So if we want to be free, and we want the world to be free, that's what our intent needs to be, and then the challenges and what we need to achieve that intent will come towards us, and then we can meet them and all this is over.
Firefighters in southern China had to mount a daring rescue after being called to a residential building where a man was threatening to commit suicide. China State Television CCTV captured footage of the man, reported to be a drug addict, precariously perched on a beam over the stairwell. He is said to have climbed out onto the beam with a knife tucked into the waistband of his trousers after his family asked him to attend a drug rehabilitation center. As firefighters prepared protective equipment and rigged a ladder across the stairwell to catch the man, he jumped. Fortunately, he fell into the arms of waiting firefighters who hauled him over the railings to safety. According to CCTV, they then carried him out of the building and sent him to hospital for medical examination.
Heaven, please send to all mankind understanding and peace in mind. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love, someone to love.
It's not unusual to come out of a chicken shop with a splattering of chili sauce. However, one man got more than he bargained for when he tried to rob a takeaway store in Sydney. After ordering some food, Tyrone Holmwood allegedly argued with staff over payment before walking behind the counter and attempting to open the cash till. But he was left red-faced after 27-year-old worker Joanna Tarnowski reached for the chili.
I didn't think twice. I just want to protect myself. I throw all the chili on his face here, and then he got crazy because of that.
Police arrested the 24-year-old at the scene. He was treated for minor burns, but wasn't getting any sympathy from his dad.
Good on him. I would have poured hot fat over his head. You know, any right person protect themselves or they're getting robbed, you know. He's lucky he only got chili over his head.
According to staff at the Olay Takeaway, the chili sauce is a secret recipe and their speciality. It certainly seems to make for a heated encounter.
You're the world, how to get along. Peace will enter when the hate is gone. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Please send me someone to love. I lay awake nights and ponder world trouble, and my answer is always the same, that unless man put an end to this damnable sin, hate will put the world in a flame. What a shame.
The happy moment, this five-year-old boy was rescued from a well in northwestern China. It took 11 firefighters with two trucks to help the child escape the well, which was 15 metres deep and only 20 centimetres wide at the top. A firefighter was lowered into the well head first, but because the hole gets narrower the further down you go, he was unsuccessful. Then a child was lowered in and he wasn't able to pull the smaller boy out of the well either. Finally, a mirror was used to reflect some light to the bottom of the well, and the bruised but otherwise unharmed little boy was able to see and get hold of the rope that aided his rescue. And after 90 minutes of panic, he was reunited with his relieved mother.
Yes, because I'm in misery, I don't beg for no sympathy. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Please send me someone to love.
Emergency crews in southwest China have staged a dramatic rescue after a fast-flowing flooded river trapped a man in his home. After 8 hours of continuous rain, the Nanjiao River had covered roads and fields and rushed into Li Jingping's house. Rescuers had to use bamboo to throw two ropes across to him. One was tied to the door frame, the other made a slip knot so he could be pulled to safety.
It thundered yesterday and then rain followed. I thought it might be like the day before yesterday and there was nothing serious. But when the day broke at 6, the flood became more and more torrential. At 4 o'clock, it was already impossible to go out.
Just because I'm in misery, I don't beg for no sympathy. But if it's not asking too much, please send me someone to love. Please send me someone to love.
Freaking lady, go off on kids. Because they don't freaking get this crap. If you would just get up and teach them instead of handing them a freaking packet, yo. There's kids in here who don't learn like that. Bye. They need to learn face to face. You're just getting mad because I'm pointing out the obvious.
No,
and you're too late.
You're wasting my time.
No, I'm not wasting your time. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you what you need to do.
Get out.
You want kids to come into your class? You want them to get excited for this? You
got to
come in here. You got to make them excited. You want a kid to change and start doing better? You got to touch his freaking heart. Can't expect a kid to change if all you do is just tell him. You gotta take this job serious. This is the future of this nation. And when you come in here like you did last time and make a statement about, oh, this is my paycheck, indeed it is. But this is my country's future and my education.
Can you go outside, please?
Score bids.
But there's a limit when I'm not bitching, but simply making an observation.
Okay.
And now I will leave. You're welcome. And if you would like, I'll teach you a little more so you can actually learn how to teach a freaking class. Because since I got here, I've done nothing but read packets. So don't try and take credibility for teaching me jack.
Just go. Bye.
Hold on, selector.
Felix has never been in trouble with the law, so it surprised him when Phoenix Police Sergeant Natalie Simonick pulled up next to him.
So I'm thinking, she's probably going to stop me. I look like a minor.
Christian was walking home from a friend's house late one night when Sergeant Simonick offered to drive him home.
This is really not a safe area. I mean, there was no residential homes or businesses open, so it was kind of desolate out there.
During that ride, Sergeant Simonick says Christian really impressed her.
He just seems real genuine. I asked him if he'd ever been arrested before or, you know, how he did in school. He said everything was good.
But the sergeant says something else really stood out about Christian.
I asked him if he ever had a bicycle, because that's a little bit safer than walking. He said he's never ridden a bike before. So I was kind of shocked over this for a young man never knowing how to ride a bike.
So Sergeant Simonick surprised him with this new bike.
It's really something when someone comes up on the street and then offers to do like a kindness for you. These days, you don't see anything like that.
I've been a lot of places all around the way. I seen a lot of joy and I seen a lot of pain. But I don't want to write a love song for the world. I just want to write a song about a boy and a girl. Junkies on the corner always calling my name. And the kids on the corner playing ghetto games. When I saw you getting down, girl, I hope it was you. And when I look into your eyes, I knew it was true. I said, hey, I'll be gone today. But I'll be back from around the way. It seems like
this baby elephant has managed to get stuck after falling into a ditch in northeast India. Locals say the female calf was lagging behind its herd when she fell. Other elephants soon came to her aid, but tried in vain to free her. The calf's cries soon attracted the attention of local people, who quickly gathered to help, using rope to pull the elephant out from the ditch. The calf was then taken for medical treatment and was stable after receiving fluids and food.
Now I'm not a highly metaphysical man, but I know when the stars are aligned you can.
Okay.
Bump into a person in the middle of the road, look into their eyes and you suddenly know. Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you, dancing in and out of in the middle of June. My mama told me don't lose you, cause the best luck I had was you. I said, hey, I'll be gone today. But I'll be back, come around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. But I know one thing, that I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. And I sit rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. I say, hey mama, close to you.
Rocking in the dance hall, moving with you. I say, hey papa, kick up your shoes.
Rocking in the dance hall.
Miracle amongst the rubble of the Bangladesh factory building. A woman rescued after spending 17 days trapped underneath concrete and debris in Dakar. As she was taken away to a waiting ambulance, a rescue worker applied an oxygen mask to her face. She was then taken to a military hospital for further treatment. There were smiles and disbelief as onlookers made phone calls to tell of the positive news. This is the kind of breaking news that is welcome and is being repeated on TV channels as such. Earlier, it was confirmed that more than 1,000 people have died in the disaster. This discovery will give a boost, if only a little, to the search and rescue operation, which officials had admitted was losing hope. It is not known for certain how this woman survived, but soon her full story will emerge. Authorities hope there may be others that follow.
Well, my mama told me don't lose you, 'cause the best luck I had was you. And I know one thing, that I love you. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back home around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know. I say, hey, I'll be gone today, but I'll be back home around the way. It seems like everywhere I go, the more I see, the less I know.
Very powerful stuff. What more do you want?
My mother's mother's personal library had over 1,000 books, and her bedroom closet was cluttered with guns. And she helped raise her first grandson with a switch and a message. Her patience was not to be tested. A nurse who taught two languages and expected her progeny to excel. Quick to tell you, tough titty, raised four children by moving back and forth between southern and northern cities, told my mother, no way. Yeah, you and that baby can move in, but ain't no grown man moving into my house on no day. No pity. The bosom was warm, but the gangster was gritty. Pretty girl, piano player, singer, matriarch, cared for her parents for years while secretly dying of cancer, but still never let anything tear her family apart. My grandmother, Eula English, was my heart. My mother's mother's mother was a school teacher. A black woman with a college degree in the 1930s and 40s, long before these underachievers came up with excuses, would do whatever she had to do to make sure her descendants didn't end up shiftless and useless, use candy to motivate the children in the neighborhood to study the Bible because she believed that that was where the truth is. Ruthless when disrespected, connected nouns and verbs to put your self-concept in check, could be expected to rip your ego apart. Named after a city in Texas, my great-grandmother, Galveston McNeil, was my heart. My mother's 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 mother was a rider, type to show up inside her son-in-law's living room and just take over, tell him, look, I'm like a general and I raised my daughter to only roll with soldiers. Born in 1882, transcended 3 years before my start, famous for lighting cigarettes and putting men in their places, my great-great-grandmother Sarah Giss was my heart. My father's mother was a social worker, a black woman with a college degree in the 1950s who bought a house for her siblings and her parents and raised her children to either get educated or get busy. Told her husband, look, if I'm going on a vacation, you could best believe my grandson is always coming with me. Comprehended. Told my mother, if anybody steps to my grandchild and gets knocked out, never punish him if he gets suspended. Just ask him how it'd start. My paternal grandmother, Flora Acey, was my heart. And my mother is a black nationalist with a master's degree in mathematics who's been programming computers since before they had keyboards. I'm talking punch cards. And didn't care about my rough housing in the street, but if I ever disrespected her, I got punched hard. And then hit with switches till I blacked out like them computer glitches. And if I came home with B's, she would make me study more to ensure I get the picture. Like tons of megapixels, she developed me to be sharp. Still my favorite person in the world, my mother, Jacqueline Acey, is my heart. I'm a father to my son, and I've been one since the beginning. But every advantage I've ever given him has been the product of five women.
Now, go find the others.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old internet, man, you just go on there and point and click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.